now. Dorian still threatens. Vaping death toll rises. I'm Barton Eckert. As Hurricane Dorian is now headed for Nova Scotia, the government of the Bahamas says the death toll from Dorian has risen to 43 and will likely increase as searchers discover more bodies. Correspondent Patrick Ottman is there.
You drive just an hour through this debris field to this town that was impassable because of all the water on the road just a few days ago. And it's like the hurricane just hit. I mean, it's a week ago that the hurricane began hitting this area, and nothing really has happened there.
The number of vaping-related illnesses rising nationwide, as are the number of deaths being reported. More from Jeff McKay.
Nationwide, five people appear to have died from a mysterious lung illness related to vaping, and 450 possible cases in 33 states, many of which are teens and young adults. Wisconsin Health Commissioner Jeanette Kowalik says enough is enough.
We're suggesting folks stay away from vaping.
Illinois Senator Dick Durbin takes this a step further, calling the vaping-related illnesses an epidemic. He's demanding the resignation of the FDA commissioner for not taking action. A joint study by the Wisconsin and Illinois Health Departments said the overwhelming majority they tested said that they had used THC, a cannabis-related product, in their e-cig devices. Jeff McKay, Washington.
An American Airlines mechanic appeared in court on charges of sabotaging a flight because he was upset about a stalled union contract. More from Brian Todd.
The American Airlines jet was rolling down the runway in Miami with 150 people on board. Takeoff was in seconds when the pilots suddenly aborted it. Investigators say the pilots had noticed an error in part of the navigation system, which gives them a read on the plane's speed, pitch, and other critical data. What they didn't know at that moment was that their plane had allegedly been sabotaged by a mechanic.
No plea has been entered by that mechanic. I'm Barton Eckert.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry's starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 6655 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 6655. Enjoy!
If you spend over $100 on wireless earphones, the last thing you want is for them to wind up in one of the dirtiest places in New York. Correspondent Steve Kastenbaum says a growing number of people are accidentally dropping them on subway tracks.
People accidentally drop all sorts of things down onto the tracks in the subway system here. Their Metro cards, cell phones, wallets, bags. But lately, the New York City transit system finds itself dealing with a new issue. Lost AirPods. As more people use the wireless earphones, more of the expensive Bluetooth devices are falling out of their ears and onto the tracks. At a cost of $160, people are anxious to get them back. Last year, subway workers recovered 104 AirPods from the tracks. No word if they cleaned off the gunk afterwards. Steve Kastenbaum, New York.
Heading into the weekend, stocks eked out some narrow gains on Wall Street, enough to give the S&P its second weekly gain in a row. I'm Barton Eckert.
Have you wanted to speak a new language?
Sundays on WMAL. Hear everything you need to know. Starting at 5 a.m., it's VA Sunday Magazine. At 5:30, hear the Chris McKay Show. At 7, it's Heroes Talk Radio with David Ahrens. At 8, it's the Eric Stewart Show pointing you home. Hear the Wise Investor at 9. The Del Wamsley Show at 10. The Underwriter's Corner at 11. And Real Estate Today at 7 p.m. It's everything you need to know on 105.9 FM, WMAL.
WMAL traffic, I'm Michelle Murray. Some slowdowns on the outer loop of the Beltway in Virginia with some road work between Arlington Boulevard and the Little River Turnpike. Watch for multiple lane closures until about 7 o'clock this morning. In Maryland, the earlier accident investigation on Georgia Avenue cleared. This was at Norbeck Road. All lanes were shut down north and southbound, but everything has been reopened. There was an accident on Route 3 northbound near Bel Air Road. All lanes just reopened there, and the emergency road work on 270 near 118 on the southbound side.
Have you wanted to speak a new language, but you thought it'd be too hard or take too much time? Then go to Babbel.com, download the app, and get 50% off select plans for a limited time. In just 15 minutes a day, you'll be on your way to speaking a new language in just a few weeks. And right now, you can get Babbel at up to 50% off. Babbel starts out teaching you words and phrases by matching them with pictures. You won't believe how easy the interactive program is. Soon the sentences get a little bigger, and before you know it, you're having simulated conversations voiced by native speakers. And because Babbel is crafted by language experts and uses the spaced repetition method, in just 10 to 15 minutes a day, you'll be speaking the language of your choice with real confidence. With Babbel, you can speak a language, and for a limited time, get up to 50% off select plans. Just go to Babbel.com and start your first lesson in the language of your choice at up to 50% off. Download the Babbel app or go to Babbel.com for 50% off. That's Babbel.com.
The internet. You need it. Almost every minute of the day. Because, hey, you've got shows to stream, emails to reply all to, and LOLs to, LOL.
That's why you need Xfinity, with fast, reliable internet. So you can get online and get down to business faster. And Xfinity delivers enhanced network security so all your connected devices are protected. Get instant alerts when strangers are trying to hop on your network, set curfews with parental control, and pause your Wi-Fi at dinner time. That's life with Xfinity, giving you fast, reliable internet at a great value. Now that's simple, easy, awesome. Get started with Xfinity Internet for $44.99 a month for 12 months with no term contract required. Plus, ask about enhanced security for safer browsing. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Ends 9/10/19. Restrictions apply. New Performance Pro Internet customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra and subject to change. After term, regular rates apply.
Once upon a morning, there was a freshly brewed McCafe coffee. It was made with 100% Arabica beans, yet something was missing. Fear not. In the distance, a sausage McMuffin with egg rides toward the sunrise in quest for breakfast. The perfect pair met at McDonald's, and mornings were happy forever after. Right now, get a $1 small coffee and a $2 sausage McMuffin with egg from the $1-$2-$3 menu. Prices and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal.
Whether you're buying a home or trying to lower your interest rate, finding the right mortgage company is often stressful and time-consuming. Listen this Saturday to the Mortgage Radio Show at 1 p.m. and now on Sunday at 3 p.m. The Mortgage Radio Show is your trusted source for mortgage news. Every weekend, host Teresa Strasser and Sean Metter will give you helpful tools for finding the right mortgage product to fit your needs. So tune in to WMAL every Saturday at 1 p.m. or Sunday at 3 p.m. for the latest rates and information from Network Capital Funding here on WMAL.
Thanks for calling 1-800-GOT-JUNK. This is Sarah. How can I help?
Can you help me with spring cleaning, even if it's not springtime?
Sure, we can do that. We bring the springtime with us.
I'm talking about the house, the garage, and the yard. This is going to be a lot of junk.
Our trucks hold 7 times the volume of a pickup truck, but you pay only for the percentage of the truck you use.
Will your people help me move this stuff?
Leave it exactly where it is. We make junk disappear. All you have to do is point.
Are you willing to come after dark?
We work until midnight, 7 days a week.
How much lead time do I need to give you?
We can be there in 90 minutes. Springtime, anytime.
You can't imagine how happy this is going to make my wife.
It makes us happy, too. Happiness is contagious.
Happy, happy.
Happy, happy.
When you want to give happiness, call 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Or visit 1-800-GOT-JUNK.com.
Happy, happy.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. The help you need could be one call away. 800-390-9528. Make the free call now. 800-390-9528. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Individual results will vary. Visit youraddictionteam.com/terms for more information.
Amy, what brings you into the Xfinity store?
I heard a drum roll. What's the big announcement?
It's the best deal of the year on Xfinity.
That deserves better. Give me the sticks.
But we're talking huge savings.
I heard that.
Plus even more savings when you add Xfinity Mobile.
That calls for a little...
Amy?
Sometimes you gotta let the sticks take the wheel, you know?
Hurry in today. The Xfinity Best Deal of the Year ends September 16th. That's simple, easy, awesome. Get huge savings on Xfinity Internet, TV, and voice for only $79.99 a month for 2 years with a 2-year agreement. With a free speed upgrade for a year, and you'll get $100 back. And ask about even more savings when you add Xfinity Mobile. You could get $250 back. Don't miss it. Go to Xfinity.com, call 1-800-XFINITY, or visit an Xfinity store today. Restrictions apply. New standard triple play customers only. Equipment, taxes, and fees, including BTV and RSN fees extra and subject to change. After 2-year agreement term and 1-year speed upgrade promo, regular rates apply.
Now, the Saturday morning update.
It is the Saturday morning update. It is good to have you with us. I'm Rick Fowler, Jeff Wolf behind the console, Jane Houghton, and our producer this morning. And we are happy to report that Hurricane Dorian is now off the coast of southeastern Massachusetts and is headed toward eastern Canada. It's a Cat 1 storm about 170 miles southeast of Nantucket at this point. So we have dodged a bullet here in Washington with Hurricane Dorian. The House Judiciary Committee making some news last night. CNN reporting that the House Judiciary Committee is preparing to vote next week on a resolution laying out the procedures for its investigation now that it's actively considering moving to impeach President Donald Trump. That is according to multiple sources familiar with the effort. And we know how those sources familiar with the effort at CNN often pan out. But the vote is expected to occur on Wednesday to lay out the ground rules for conducting hearings now that the committee has publicly announced it's considering recommending articles of impeachment against Donald Trump. Of course, that's the House of Representatives. Good luck getting that through the Senate. As we look ahead to the next week, Congress back in session and the Democratic debate. The debate now down to 10 candidates. Some of those candidates not on the agenda for the debate and not on the stage are not happy. Tulsi Gabbard's had this to say about the Democratic Party. She won't be on the stage.
Setting this requirement that you've got to be popular or famous if you're going to be qualified to serve as president. To me, that just does a disservice to voters. So, I think that we can raise our voices to call on the DNC to be more transparent and reassess how they're choosing which polls they're using.
Now, Tom Steyer will not be on that stage either. He spent a lot of money on his campaign.
No one has run a poll that the Democratic National Committee would accept for like 5 weeks. So I don't have to change anything. All they have to do is run a poll that the DNC will accept.
And Congressman John Delaney of Maryland will not be on that stage. He's one of the more grounded Democratic candidates, and here's what he had to say.
No, I don't actually see a change in my strategy. I mean, my strategy has been an early stage strategy, and I'm sticking with it.
Well, he'll stick with it. Other things going on this morning. Of course, General Mattis's book is out this week. Jim Mattis has been making the rounds, former defense secretary. And among the headlines, catastrophic decisions. Mattis savages Obama for failure in foreign policy. One of the headlines at the Washington Examiner this week. And kind of goes step by step through his experiences at CENTCOM, where he was overseeing the military operations in the Mideast and Central Asia until Obama actually fired him. And, wow, if you have not read the book or seen any of the interviews, it's a very interesting portrayal of his time in the Obama administration. And he hasn't said much about the Trump administration because the president is in office. So he is not going to really go down any negative comments on a sitting president, which is quite honorable of General Mattis, I would say. Or Secretary Mattis, if you like. Now, the book is called Call Sign Chaos, Learning to Lead. And some people have tried to interpret that as saying, well, that's a shot at President Trump. But it's actually directed at Barack Obama. And he said that Obama made, quote, catastrophic decisions in Iraq, conclusion of General Mattis, did so because he ignored the advice coming from multiple military and civilian advisors, thinking he knew better than all of them. Very interesting what people say about President Trump, but that's what Jim Mattis says about Barack Obama. So that's one of the stories that's been floating around throughout the week. And we've got a lot to cover this morning. Of course, we'll have K.T. McFarland coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer, John Gizzi, and Cheryl Atkinson is back. She has been traveling throughout the summer and has a very interesting story coming up on illegal immigration in Greece at a time when the Turkish president, Erdogan, is threatening to release 3.6 million Syrian refugees into Western countries. He's upset that the safe zone has not gotten any further, and he is threatening to release those refugees to the West. And that's could be a serious, serious crisis in addition to the crisis they already have with immigrants in Europe. We're at 6:16. It is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. Michelle Murray is in the WMAL Traffic Center.
Construction still causing some slowdowns on the Beltway Outer Loop in Virginia between Arlington Boulevard and the Little River Turnpike. Should be there till 7 o'clock this morning. Expect delays. In the district, seeing some slow traffic on the through the work zone on northbound 295 between Laboratory Road headed towards Anacostia. Do keep in mind that a Jersey wall is separating the right side of the roadway from the through lane, so do allow some extra travel time there. Also, keep in mind there is road work northbound on Glebe Road. That ramp to 395 is closed for construction. Now from GarageStoryFair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
For Washington, it looks pretty good today. We'll have sunshine and a high temperature up around 80 for the day in D.C., and a lot better than it could have been considering the conditions along the East Coast this week. Also, for the rest of the weekend, we've got partly cloudy skies expected tomorrow, high of 83. Cloudy on Monday with a high of 81, and Tuesday it looks partly cloudy with a high of 82. Right now in D.C., we're at 60. We're headed to 83 this afternoon, 6:17 on the Saturday morning update.
WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
It is the Saturday morning update, and a tough week for Joe Biden. The week seemed to get tougher for Joe Biden, and this time seemed to have shoddy memory when it came to how he perceived the Iraq war and when he actually began to oppose the Iraq war. And we'll take it from David Axelrod, of course, one of the key strategists in the Obama administration. And David Axelrod tweeting out this week, it's one thing to have a well-earned rep for goofy, harmless gaffes. It's another if you serially distort your own record. Joe Biden is in danger of creating a more damaging meme. That tweet from David Axelrod yesterday. And he linked the tweet to a story. It's in Slate. Title of that story, quote, when did Joe Biden start believing he had opposed the Iraq war? Wow. And there's been so much scrutiny over Biden recently. Remember last week, the Post reporting that Biden has reportedly misstated facts in that war story that he had retold on multiple occasions on the campaign trail. Biden, defending his comments, says he was correct about the, quote, essence of the story. tough scene for Boris Johnson in the UK, running short on options as the dissidents in the parliament are vowing to secure a delay on Brexit. That's one of the topics that we'll talk about later on this morning with KT McFarland. We're going to talk with Tony Schaefer also this morning, and one of the topics with Tony is the Flores Settlement Agreement. And that's very important because it's been in the news, and it's that legislation and policy where the children of migrants that come into the country are limited to staying in protective custody for 20 days. And we're going to get into that because it's important, of course, the administration wanting to keep those minors past 20 days. And a lot of controversy swirling around that, a lot of Democratic criticism. But Tony is very much behind the 22-year-old Flores settlement agreement, and we're going to get into that this morning. It's not something that's talked about that much in the news, but it is important in this whole discussion on immigration. So we'll get into that a bit later on with Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer. And when we talk with John Gizzi, we're going to talk about the number of Republicans who are not going to be running for re-election. It's up to 13, and another two are expected to come out in coming weeks, and John Gizzi will identify those next two, and that is coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. So we have plenty to cover right here on the Saturday Morning Update. Stay with us.
It's cutting into your exercise time. It's stabbing you in the back nine. And it's attacking your peace of mind. It's pain, and it's getting in between you and the life you want to live. CBD Medic targets your pain at its source. It's fast-acting relief with active OTC ingredients, plus the added benefits of THC-free hemp oil. Get back to your life with CBD Medic, available online and at CVS. These statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Brokered by eXp Realty.
Hey everybody, this is Brian Wilson at The Hybrid Agent, where we sell homes for a flat fee of $500 upfront and just 0.5% commission at closing. Housing inventory is low and rates are too, making September a seller's market. So whether you're buying or selling, avoid those high commissions and keep more of your money in your pocket. Check us out at TheHybridAgent.com. Real simple, real savings, real results. That's TheHybridAgent.com.
Is it possible that an ancient mystery lies behind today's news? The events of the world, world leaders, even Donald Trump, and the events of your life. Could this mystery even reveal the future events that are yet to come? Jonathan Cahn, the New York Times bestselling author of The Harbinger, The Paradigm, and The Book of Mysteries, now brings The Oracle. Prepare to be blown away. The Oracle by Jonathan Cahn. Available on Amazon and wherever fine books are sold.
Hey guys, my name is Karen, and I wanted to tell you a story about my boyfriend Mike. He's a great guy, super fun. He is the best in so many ways, except for our life in the bedroom. The last several months, he lost his ability to perform and also lost his confidence. It changed him, and he became miserable, and he was about to lose me. So get this, he hears an ad about this powerful male enhancement product called Noxetril. It's all natural, no stuffy nose, no headaches, no side effects. He tries it, and all I can say is, wow, incredible. I told him this feels like Viagra on steroids. Boy, was I glad I stuck around. With Noxetril, Mike is now my energizer bunny. He keeps going and going. Problem solved. Thanks, Noxetril. And Noxetril has this free bottle offer, so now there's no excuse for every guy to have it and keep going and going.
Find out how to get a free bottle of Noxetril while supplies last. Call 800-993-1560. 800-993-1560. Free bottles for a limited time. Call now. 800-993-1560. 800-993-1560.
Owning land is an honor, but it's also a big responsibility, so you need the right tractor to ease the burden of maintaining the land that you love. You need a Mahindra. And right now, Mahindra wants to ease the burden on your budget, too, by giving you two great ways to save. You can take home a tough and reliable Mahindra tractor without paying interest. That's right, Mahindra is offering 0% interest. Or you can choose to save thousands of dollars by taking advantage of special Mahindra deals going on right now. I invite you to be a good steward of your land and learn how to get more Mahindra for your money at MahindraUSA.com or at your local Mahindra dealer.
0% APR financing available for a limited time only. See us or go to MahindraUSA.com for more information. Take advantage of rock bottom prices. and test drive a Mahindra today at Cecil's Tractors in Warrenton or visit cecilstractors.com. That's cecilstractors.com.
This is the Saturday Morning Update. I'm Rick Fowler. Very important effort is underway to construct a memorial in Washington, D.C. to honor those who have served in the global war on terrorism. And members of the organization gathering in Washington this weekend to further the project. And we're joined by Rod Rodriguez. He is the president and chief executive officer of the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. And Rod, it's great to have you with us this morning.
Oh, Rick, hey, I thank you for having me on your show, and really appreciate you taking the time.
Absolutely. The war memorials in Washington, the Vietnam Veterans Memorial, the World War II Veterans Memorial, those are wars that are finite. They are completed. The global war on terrorism started around 9/11 and continues to this day, and I don't think we really take the time to recognize that there are so many members of various areas of service who are giving their lives and being wounded in the ongoing global war on terrorism.
No, you're 100% right. This war has no precedent. We're in a multi-generational conflict with really no clearly forecasted end in sight. I can't speak to that, you know. And when I say multi-generational, this really struck home for me. You know, I served in the Army for 21 years, deployed 9 times, and my oldest son, you know, he was 4 years old when the towers fell, which was the catalyst for the current conflict, and he was 4 when it happened. Those were some of his very first memories as a child. But a little over a year ago, he's an airborne infantryman in the 82nd Airborne. When he deployed to Afghanistan, doing the same, similar work to what I was doing, that really kind of struck a tone for me. I'm like, wow, we really are in a multi-generational conflict with no end in sight, you know, and, you know, this war has no precedence, which, you know, leads to, you know, this memorial has no precedence. We are building a living war memorial to a living war, which is why 2 years ago we had to get authorization from Congress to actually do this, because there was a law on the books that said a war had to be over for a period of 10 years in order for a national war memorial to be built. Like, you know, World War II was built almost 60 years after the cessation of conflict. Well, if we would have followed that law, just remember the Works Act of 1986, then, you know, I could never have seen a war memorial for, you know, the war that I fought in. We are considered a sacred duty that we share, and I think we all share as American citizens, to honor everyone that has stepped forward in service. You know, as an example, in January of this year, of 2019, we lost 7 Americans fighting in the global war on terrorism. 4 of those members were from 3 different services. 3 of those Americans who lost their lives were actually contractors. So that speaks to the uniqueness and really complexities of this conflict. You know, and anybody that steps forth and serves in whatever capacity, you know, it is the foundation's belief that they should be honored in their service and sacrifices. I think it's very important for us to honor, you know, all the men and women that have stepped forth and served in this, you know, our nation's longest war. The first generation of warfighters are senior level commanders. As a matter of fact, one of our board advisors, he's the 16th Chairman, Joint Chief of Staff, you know, General Peter Pace. He's in his 70s. He possibly could never see this war memorial built to where he was the Chairman, Joint Chief of Staff for, you know, a big portion of it. So it's a very, very unique and important effort.
You mentioned congressional approval. Describe the process of going about constructing a national memorial.
Well, and as I'm sure a lot of your listeners within the Beltway understand, there's quite a lot of steps that govern this process, pretty much anything in Washington, D.C. It is a 24-step process in order to build a national war memorial. We are currently on steps 9 through 12. Obviously, we got congressional approval. They got us everything to steps 1 through 8. So currently steps 9 through 12 is site selection, which is, you know, is as important as any of the other steps. But that's where we are as a foundation right now. We're looking within the National Mall, to find key locations that not only, you know, will capture the global war on terrorism, but, you know, we're looking to add something to the city. We're not just running here, planting a flag and, you know, we're being extremely respectful and honoring of the city and this America's front line. Very, very important for us to follow the steps in process and to build this memorial.
You know, you bring up an interesting point in that memorials are to be constructed 10 years after the conclusion of a war minimum. But the global war on terrorism will continue for likely decades. It is a noble initiative. And Rod, tell people how they can find out more about the foundation and if they'd like to donate to your efforts.
Of course, we would love for everyone to track our progress as we go through this. You can find us at our website, www.gwotmf.org. You can find us on social media, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter. Reach out to us. See how you can get involved by donating your time or treasure.
Rod Rodriguez, President and CEO of the Global War on Terrorism Memorial Foundation. Appreciate your time this morning and wish you the very best in your efforts.
Thank you so much, Rick.
It's 6:30 on WMAL, and a check of the headlines at this hour. Hurricane Dorian is producing tropical storm force winds in southeastern Massachusetts. It is headed now toward Canada, the top sustained winds remaining at about 90 miles an hour with higher gusts. It's about 170 miles southeast of Nantucket. Some weakening is forecast. Dorian expected to bring hurricane conditions to portions of Nova Scotia later today before becoming a powerful post-tropical cyclone. Iran's atomic energy spokesman is issuing new warnings about the nuclear deal with world powers. President Rouhani had been threatening to take further action. The energy spokesman is with the Atomic Energy Organization of Iran. He said this morning that Iran has the ability to go beyond 20% enrichment of uranium. Analysts say that 20% is just a short technical step away from 90% enrichment, which is weapons grade level. He is also warning that Europeans should know that there is not much time left to save the 2015 deal. He did add that Iran will continue to allow UN inspectors to access nuclear sites in the country. A federal agency is reversing course on the question of whether President Trump tweeted stale information about Hurricane Dorian potentially hitting Alabama. Now, on Sunday, the president had warned that Alabama, along with the Carolinas and Georgia, was, quote, most likely to be hit harder than anticipated. The National Weather Service in Birmingham tweeted in response that, quote, Alabama will not see any impacts from Dorian. The president has been adamant that he was correct. Now, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration has issued a statement saying information provided to President Trump through Monday demonstrated that tropical storm force winds from Hurricane Dorian could impact Alabama. The NOAA statement also says the National Weather Service tweet spoke in, quote, absolute terms that were inconsistent with probabilities from the best forecast products available at the time. End of quote. 6:33, it is time for WMAL traffic and weather, and Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center this morning.
Construction in Virginia causing some delays. We still have some roadwork northbound on 395 in the main lanes between Glebe Road and Washington Boulevard. They're along the left side. And keep in mind, HOV lanes closed for weekend roadwork. Now, on the Beltway, on the outer loop, there is roadwork going on between Arlington Boulevard and the Little River Turnpike. And on the inner loop between the 495 express lanes on the south end and Gallows Road, they're doing some paving work along the left side. Watch for alternating lane closures and some slow traffic through that area. Now from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
We've got sunshine today with a high in the low 80s, partly cloudy tomorrow, a high in the low 80s, mostly cloudy on Monday, high around 81, Tuesday, partly cloudy, high in the low 80s, and we're back up to 90 on Wednesday. Right now in Washington, temperature at 60 degrees. We're headed to 83 this afternoon, 6:34 on the Saturday morning update.
Hey, I'm Eric Stewart, the host of Pointing You Home here on WMAL for the last 15 years. And every Sunday morning from 8 till 8:30, I bring you the truth in real estate. We cover everything from the seniors' solutions of real estate, how to downsize, to how to prepare your home and how to get it ready and what to put into it to get the best return. So be sure and join me every Sunday morning right here on WMAL at 8 o'clock for a half an hour of the best on real estate. That's Pointing You Home, Sunday mornings at 8, right here on WMAL.
We do appreciate you spending part of your Saturday morning with us here on the Saturday Morning Update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. Jennifer Harper joins us each week. She writes Inside the Beltway at the Washington Times. And Deborah Messing got more attention this week from a handful of tweets than she got in 10 seasons on Will and Grace. Whoa, a lot of fun stuff going on. Jennifer, good morning.
Well, good morning, Rick. How are you?
Conservatives being urged to take back Hollywood.
Yes. Like
Messing and McCormick may have gone one step too far.
Well, no, we certainly have a long week full of actors and activists and anarchists and everything else. I mean, there's a lot of F-bombs being dropped this week by the actors who were very critical of both President Trump and very personally critical also on his administration, Republican voters, you name it. And it prompted one Hollywood veteran, Rick, to kind of strike back. And this is Roger L. Simon. If you don't know him, you should. He's actually an Academy Award nominated screenwriter, a novelist, he's a blogger, and he also founded PJ Media, if you like to go there and read all the columns. But anyway, he is proposing that the curtain should come down on all these kind of antics and attitudes among our actor friends. He says it's time for a finale. He says, truck derangement syndrome in Tinseltown is simply around the bend and back and around the bend again. It is time for conservatives, Mr. Simon says, to have an entertainment industry of their own. And that's probably pretty good advice because back in a previous era, I think conservatives did have a great deal more influence on Hollywood. But he says Hollywood has effectively divorced conservatives from their whole being there. And he also says it's going to be a tricky business, but it should be done. He says the conservative financiers, they kind of like funding like think tanks and things like that rather than movies. But Mr. Simon points out that the truth is one good movie or television series is worth more than 100 or even 1,000 position papers when it comes to moving society. I think that's a pretty good point that he made there. And he also points out there's been a lot of conservative content that has done very well in Hollywood, like The Blind Side, Lone Survivor, American Snipers, all very well-received movies. And he also says, you know, there are a lot of mistakes that can be made, but the lack of financial help is not going to be a giant problem. And Mr. Simon is also citing an old Zen Buddhist idea. He says you can't get there by trying, but you won't get there if you don't try. And one other thing, Rick, I think perhaps the liberal media really tried to have a heyday during the climate alarmist extravaganza on CNN this week. It was 7 hours it went. I certainly did not watch the whole thing, but in the real world, that great big CNN project with 10 Democratic presidential hopefuls, it was a ratings flop. It just came in third for the night, and this is kind of a blow to them. And let's just look at numbers really quick. Fox News during the primetime hours, and just with their regular programming, they had 3.2 million viewers, and CNN during their climate extravaganza only got 1.3 million viewers. Again, that's in primetime. So that's a Hollywood update. I think Mr. Simon has a good idea there, and I also think that Fox News trumping CNN once again is evidence that maybe it's time for conservative Hollywood.
The label liberal, conservative, you know, it all boils down to ideology. But one of the interesting enigmas, I think, currently is President Trump's ideology. Well, he has a lot of support, of course, among conservatives. Sometimes he will come up with statements and or policies that are anything but traditionally conservative. And I'm just curious how the American people are viewing El Presidente.
Yes, well, that's a very interesting idea there, Rick. And, of course, there is a poll for that. And good morning, everybody. Here are your numbers. but people have some interesting perception about what ideology Trump favors. And here are the straight numbers. This is coming from an Economist YouGov poll conducted September 1 to 3, so it's very current. 29% of all Americans are unsure
of President Trump's ideology. That includes only 8% of Republicans, 38% of independents, and 34% of Democrats. 50% overall think that Mr. Trump is conservative. That includes 68% of Republicans, 37% of independents, and 49% of Democrats. Interesting there, huh? Anyway, 14% overall say he is moderate. 18% of Republicans, 16% of independents, and 7% of Democrats agree with that. And 8% overall, drumroll please, say that Mr. Trump is liberal, only 8%. That includes 6% of Republicans, 7% of independents, and 9% of Democrats. So that's your update on what people think. Some people are unsure, but the majority, 50%, think that Mr. Trump is conservative.
While we're on polls, Gallup, highly respected polling organization, has a happy poll and even more.
Well, Rick, they don't have just a happy poll. They have a whole global happiness center. This was unveiled this week by Gallup, and they are intent on measuring the well-being and happy feelings of the whole planet. That's all I can tell you. It's a huge project. It's very interesting. Here's what Gallup has to say. What does it mean to be happy? Should happiness matter? Happiness can reveal more about a society's health than traditional economic metrics. Anyway, they have unveiled their new Global Happiness Center. You can find that at Gallup.com if you're curious about all that. And here's their rationale. Who cares if people are happy? If you don't, you should. Improving and sustaining high well-being is vital to any population's overall health and to its economy. This is why Gallup regularly asks people around the world about their lives, including how satisfied they are with them and what they are feeling and experiencing, both good and bad, on a daily basis. Again, this is coming from Gallup, and I have seen some of these new polls, and they are literally asking people, did you feel some joy yesterday? And these are thousands and thousands of people in scores of countries, so something to watch.
Number of the Democratic candidates expressing disappointment with their party, that number being the ones that aren't in the 10 that are in the debate this coming Thursday. What's Marianne Williamson saying this week?
Well, she kind of had a teachable moment here, Rick, and she shared this moment with The New Yorker. How about that? But anyway, she has spent a couple of weeks now being called the outsider candidate, and she's had some negative experiences on the campaign trail. And there are also some suggestions from her fellow Democrats that she was into crystal gazing. And that did not sit very well, but this was, again, a teachable moment and also a quotable one. This is the exact quote that she had for New Yorker editor David Remnick after all was said and done this week. She said, I know this sounds naive. I didn't think the left was so mean. I didn't think the left lied like this. I thought the right did that. I thought we were better. Again, this is coming from Marianne Williamson, who probably will, you know, stay in the race in one form or another. But it was an interesting teachable moment, also a cultural moment, and a political one as well.
You know, you wrote about something that I've heard about in the past, but I think it is a good reminder at this time of the year, every year. And that's what happens when teachers have to dig into their own pockets for school supplies.
Oh, my gosh, they certainly are. And someone has quantified exactly how much on average the average teacher is showing up in their own wallet for classroom supplies, simple classroom supplies. This is coming from the National Center for Educational Statistics, and it's something to ponder because the school year is already underway. But teachers are definitely tapping into their own wallets here to get these classroom supplies. 9 out of 10 of them are not being reimbursed for how much they spend. And how much do they spend? This is coming from the Economic Policy Institute, who analyzed all these numbers. The nation's kindergarten through 12th grade public school teachers shell out on average $459 on school supplies for which they are not reimbursed. They said this average is for all teachers. And if you're curious about which teachers bear the biggest burden, in the top 10, number one, it's California teachers. They spend $664 apiece, followed by Hawaii with $561, Arizona, $552, New Mexico, $545, and Rhode Island, 538, and D.C. is right up there with them. Washington teachers shell out $527, so it's something to think about, and also something to be grateful, I guess, to our teachers.
It's a lot of money for a teacher.
Yes, it is.
Jennifer Harper, Inside the Beltway, Washington Times. Follow her on Twitter at Harper Bulletin. Thank you.
My pleasure, Rick. Thanks.
6:44 now on the Saturday morning update. Quick program note. If you listen to Dr. Tom Rozelle, you can catch him this afternoon on WMAL at 4 o'clock. Now, normally, Dr. Rozelle's on WMAL on Sundays at noon, but with our NFL coverage, you'll now hear Dr. Rozelle in his new time slot, Saturdays at 4, throughout the football season. So catch Dr. Rozelle this afternoon. It is 6:44, and it's time for a check of the traffic and weather. Michelle Murray's in the WMAL Traffic Center.
In the district, expect he's traveling on 295 northbound through the long-term work zone between Laboratory Road, the Naval Research Lab exit, and Malcolm X Avenue. Two lanes are maintained to the left, so do keep in mind they are working on the right side of the roadway. Now, also in the district, we do have the More Than Pink Walk taking place today, and that has several street closures in effect, including Pennsylvania Avenue Northwest between 12th and 9th Street, and 12th Street will be closed between Constitution Avenue and East Street until about 12:30 this afternoon. Now, from GarageDoorRepair.com, the WMAL Weather Channel forecast.
Going to be a nice one today. Sunshine, we could reach 83 this afternoon. Partly cloudy tomorrow, and we'll be in the 80s all the way through Tuesday. We've got partly cloudy weather pretty much Sunday, Monday, Tuesday. Wednesday, it's going to be cloudy, but we'll reach 90 degrees on Wednesday. Right now in D.C., we're at 60. We're headed to 83 this afternoon, and it's 6:45 on the Saturday morning update.
Washington's Mall, WMAL, where Washington comes to talk.
This is the Saturday morning update on WMAL. I'm Rick Fowler. I think it's important from time to time to look at stories that may get an occasional mention on cable news or an article once in a while in the New York Times, but do not rise to the level of urgency that is really commensurate with the story. As an example, according to the National Institutes of Health, National Institute of Drug Abuse, over 130 people die every day in this country after overdosing on opioids. That's 49,500 people a year. Can you imagine the media attention it would get if it were 130 people dying in a plane crash every day or dying in a mass shooting every day? To focus attention on the issue this morning, we're joined by Nicole Fisher. She is the founder and president of Health and Human Rights Strategies. It's a healthcare and human rights-focused advising firm here in D.C. She's also a health policy advisor on Capitol Hill and a contributor to Forbes. Nicole, thanks for being with us this morning.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We hear in the news from time to time stories on opioids, stories on fentanyl, but I'm not sure that the issue that faces this country really registers. And if you could give us a sense of the problems we're facing and the impact it's having on society.
Sure. Well, in my world in health policy, we are talking about opioids a lot, and that looks like a lot of different things. It's not only a public health crisis here in the United States, I would say it's a global health crisis. Often we think of painkillers that are prescribed, but in today's world, it actually looks like a lot of things. In fact, the CDC has been doing work recently where they've separated out opioid-related deaths from fentanyl-related deaths, instead of lumping them all together. And what they found is that when you do that, opioid-related deaths have actually decreased 5%, but fentanyl deaths have risen 11%, and that was just at the end of 2017 into the beginning of 2018. And the reason that's so significant is because fentanyl is much stronger and much more deadly. So when you put them together in those synthetic opioids, we see the death toll rising all across the country. No cohort, age, race, religion seems to be safe. And the toxicity is getting worse.
So what is the progression for someone who may have an illness and then is treated with some pain medication? What is the progression to get onto opioids or fentanyl?
It's actually quite easy. You could do something like pull a muscle, hurt your back, have a surgery, and you're given a prescription, and it can look like something like Tylenol 3, which has a little bit of codeine in it, or Oxy. And even though you're given a small prescription, that's sort of like someone writing you a prescription for heroin. And so it's in a small amount, but when someone's in pain, what it does is it relieves you of some of that pain. And so what happens ultimately is your body becomes addicted quickly. And so once you try to scale back the number that you're taking as your body heals a week or two out of surgery or pain, your body actually has a different kind of pain from no longer having the substance. And so withdrawals can happen really quickly. And so it becomes much easier to, well, just take another Tylenol or take one more Oxy. And before you know it, that amount is no longer doing what it used to do.
We've seen recent news stories about opioid lawsuit settlements. Mm-hmm. On October 18th, 2018, about a year ago, you have a headline at Forbes, "Opioid lawsuits on par to become largest civil litigation agreement in U.S. history." As you look at this, it's not over in terms of these settlements.
No, it's just getting started. What I would argue, and I argued at that time and a year later, I think it's very true, is that if anyone wants to broadly understand what's going on with the opioid lawsuits, just think of big tobacco. It started out as some individual states and, people saying our community has been harmed by this. We were misled. We sold this product because we thought it was safer than it is. And come to find out, some of those making the product fudged the research or hid the true implications for people. And so, the lawsuits have ranged from actual Indian reservations suing to, in one case, the Sackler family. I think 16 individuals have been named in a lawsuit, having known more than they shared with the public and more than they shared with doctors. And so with guilty pleas coming out and further, last week, Stat News published some never-before-seen footage of the Sackler patriarch, actually talking about the billions that were made off of selling Oxy. And so I think these lawsuits will eventually roll up into a big master settlement agreement.
We talk about the severity of the impact of opioids and fentanyl, but I think typically when people talk about marijuana, there seems to be sort of an attitude that it's really not that harmful. Many states are legalizing marijuana and medical marijuana. But the U.S. Surgeon General put out an advisory this week, Marijuana Use and the Developing Brain. And if you can tell us a little bit about what the U.S. Surgeon General had to say and also the DEA.
Sure. Well, I think your point is exactly right. In fact, in his speech, the Surgeon General last Thursday said that there's a false perception that marijuana isn't as harmful as other drugs. And what he was getting at was really when you look at what the report looks at, which is pregnant women and adolescents, he said, as far as the U.S. Federal government is concerned, no amount of marijuana during adolescence or pregnancy is known to be safe. And that he's fearful as states normalize the use of marijuana and use terms like medical marijuana, that those populations in particular have really lost the perception of how dangerous drugs can be, and that includes marijuana. Now, the DEA, that was a really interesting turn of events last week. It's actually what prompted the Surgeon General and the Secretary of HHS to do the press conference. What happened ultimately is the DEA had been sued, and the lawsuit was from a company who's looking to grow medical marijuana, and they wanted to do medical research on combat veterans and post-traumatic stress. But their application had not been processed by the government. And back in 2016, there was a commitment that more than one grower, which is all we have in the U.S. right now, could grow marijuana for medical research purposes. Now, you may recall that the Attorney General at the time was Jeff Sessions in 2017, and he basically shut that down. I think between 2016 and present, 33 applications were filed to grow medical research-based marijuana plants, and none have been processed. And so the DEA, having a lawsuit in front of them, decided to reverse course. And so last week, Attorney General Barr said that he was pleased to announce the DEA would be moving forward with review of applications for people who want to grow marijuana legally to support research.
Well, with states legalizing forms of marijuana use and with the federal government in conflict with the states, does this lead at some point to some resolution of the differences?
I think it's going to be a while before we get there, but at some point we'll have to. For right now, I think the DEA is playing it a bit safe by saying at this moment the only thing they're going to do is look at applications for growers who want to do research. And I think one of the drivers behind that is scientific work. And that could mean universities. And so I think we're going to see a few other things play out before we see a head-to-head between the states and the federal government. But at some point in the future, we will have to have a consensus.
Well, these are clearly important topics that we'll be developing in the weeks and months ahead. Where would you have information if somebody wanted to find out more?
Sure. Well, my firm here in D.C. is called Health and Human Rights Strategies, and our website is hhrstrategies.com. And then also my site on Forbes. So if you go to Forbes and look up Nicole Fisher, it'll take you to me, and all things I write about in terms of public health and health policy are there.
Nicole, thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you very much.
Coming up on the Saturday Morning Update, we'll talk with Cheryl Atkinson, KT McFarland, John Gizzi, and Lieutenant Colonel Tony Schaefer.
WMAL. It's all about the conversation.
Appreciate the voice you give me.
Chris Plant.
You're funny. You're insightful.
Larry O'Connor.
Thank goodness for your humor.
Rush Limbaugh.
This is it.
Mark Levin. 105.9 FM. WMAL. Where Washington comes to talk.
Teresa could barely walk. For 15 years, she'd been collecting different insoles from drugstores and cushions from the internet. Nothing seemed to help the plantar fasciitis in her feet. When Teresa came into the Good Feet store, we took an impression of her feet and measured her arches to find where the pressure wasn't evenly distributed. Next, we had her do a simple balance test. Her eyes widened. Teresa immediately knew these were nothing like the flimsy drugstore products. This was a lifetime product with structure, fit with precision. She had total balance, and 15 years of pain went down the drain. Years later, I still see Teresa because she sends everyone she knows to the Good Feet store. Hi, I'm Jonathan Cotton, and I was just like Teresa, suffering from plantar fasciitis. But then I tried Good Feet Arch Support, and I was so impressed by the results, I bought the store. If you have plantar fasciitis, back pain, knee pain, or even hip pain, come by the Good Feet store for your free personalized fitting and test walk. The Good Feet store is located in Fairfax at Fairfax Corner and Rockville, Maryland on Rockville Pike and coming soon to Leesburg.
We've all heard about the college admissions bribery scandal. Well, here's the latest. Now, you know, when celebrities get into it, sometimes there's an adverse reaction from people they're trying to impress. So you can formulate your own opinion here. Felicity Huffman is getting support from her husband, William H. Macy, of course the actor, and her Desperate Housewives co-star, Eva Longoria. The two fellow actors filed letters with a federal court yesterday urging leniency over Huffman's role in the college admissions scandal. Federal prosecutors are seeking a month in jail for Felicity. Her lawyers argue that she should get probation, community service, and a fine. William H. Macy says the family has struggled since his wife's arrest. Longoria wrote that Huffman, quote, always leads with her heart and has always put others first, except for all those other kids. The actress filed her own letter saying that she has a, quote, deep and abiding shame. She's among 51 people who were charged in that scheme, and you've heard about it. The prosecutors say that wealthy parents paid a consultant to bribe coaches and test administrators to help their kids get into college. We'll see how those letters play out in a Boston courtroom for Felicity Huffman.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter 4343 at checkout. That's harrys.com, code 4343. Enjoy!
Coming up in the 7 o'clock hour, more Republicans not continuing their careers on Capitol Hill. Boris and Brexit. What's the latest in the UK? It's getting pretty tense over there. And Iran. All coming up in the next hour right here on WMAL. First off, the 7 o'clock news, and Heather Curtis is with us.
WMAL-FM, Woodbridge, Washington.
105.9 FM, WMAL, a Cumulus station, where Washington comes to talk.